The scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So far, the reading of God's word. I have frequently spoken to you concerning the faith of this Canaanitish woman, of the way in which Christ tried it, and of the manner in which at length he honored it, and granted all that the suppliant sought. The story is so full of meaning that one might turn it this way and that way and the other way, and always see jewels in it. But now I'm going to use it with only one end and aim, namely to encourage those who have faith enough to seek Jesus, but have not yet, to their joy and peace, been quite able to find him. This woman had come to her last word. I do not see what more she could have said. When Christ had likened her to a dog, she had consented to it and said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She had come to her last word, and now Christ gives her his best word. It is his way sometimes to make us wait till we are completely exhausted, can say and do no more. Then he comes in with the fullness of his divine power and gives to us what we have importunately sought at his hands. Our extremity is his opportunity. The first remark which I shall make and enlarge upon is that faith alone can keep a soul seeking after Christ under discouragement. Other causes may send us a certain distance along the road, but only faith will bring us to the goal of assured rest. That which made this woman seek the Savior was, first of all, parental love. She loved her daughter. She longed to have the devil cast out of her, that her daughter might not be so grievously vexed. That started her going and carried her some way towards the blessing. But she would have stopped short of the boon she desired if she had relied upon natural love alone. Her earnestness also, to a large extent, urged her forward. When she desired healing for her daughter, she meant what she said. When she cried, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou Son of David," it was with a shrill and piteous voice. She could not bear to be refused. Nobody ever came to Christ who pleaded more from the heart than did this poor Canaanite. She was not an idle repeater of forms of prayer. Her prayer leaped red hot from her soul. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." But her earnestness alone would not have upheld her under the ordeal through which she was called to pass. It would have given way if she had not had the believing conviction that Christ could heal her daughter and that he would do so. Her humility helped her greatly. Had she been a proud woman, she would have stood upon her dignity when she was called the dog. But humility came to her help, and she did not resent even the harsh word the Lord used, but still pleaded for her poor child. Now, parental love and earnestness and humility are good things, but they are not enough to enable a soul to cling to Christ and never let him go. Something more is needed. This Canaanite was a very sensible woman, wise and prudent. She knew how to turn the hard words of Christ into arguments in her own favor. She would not be put back. If he had not answered her, she would have pleaded with him again. When he did answer her and say that it was not meet to give the children's bread to dogs, she found even in that dry bone some little marrow on which to feed her heart. But wise as she was and prudent as she was, she would not have held out to the end and obtained the blessing she desired for her daughter if it had not been for her faith. We may be quite sure that the one thing specially noteworthy in this woman's case was her faith. First, because we have Christ's word for it. He said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. He did not say, great is thy love to thy child, nor great is thy earnestness, nor great is thy importunity. But he put his finger on the power that had urged her forward, and he said, O woman, great is thy faith. And not in this case alone did Christ trace a blessing to faith, but in nearly every instance where a suppliant obtained favor from him, faith was the medium of securing the mercy. Faith is mightier than all other available forces. Besides this, we know that faith supports the other graces. If other graces can help a soul to plead with Christ, they all owe their power to faith. If it had not been for the faith which she had to support it, parental love would not have helped this woman much. If it had not been for faith, she would not have been earnest and importunate. Faith supplies the strength of the other graces, and whatever they do, it is faith that works through them. Faith is the master power. Faith hangs on to Christ in the dark. It holds to a silent Christ. It holds to a refusing Christ. It holds to a rebuking Christ and will not let him go. Faith is the great holdfast that hooks a soul onto the Savior. Faith is thus powerful because of its effects. Faith enlightens, enlivens, and strengthens. It is written of some of old that they looked unto him and were lightened. Faith sheds a light upon many things and lets us see that even if Christ has a frown on his face, he has love in his heart. Faith looks right into the heart of Christ and helps us to perceive that he cannot mean anything but mercy to a seeking soul. Faith also enlivens, and when the heart begins to faint, faith brings its smelling bottle and revives it. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed. Believing is the cure for fainting, and you must do one of two things, either believe or faint. Faith is thus a great help to one who is seeking Christ because it both enlightens and enlivens the soul. Faith also strengthens. It makes the lame take the prey. Beloved, it is because faith thus enlightens and enlivens and strengthens that it is the grace most useful to a soul that is seeking to lay hold upon Christ and yet cannot get a comfortable look at his blessed face. Moreover, faith lays hold on Christ. It is like the Greek Antisthenes who went to a philosopher to learn. But he was a dull scholar, and the philosopher bade him go away. The next time the class met, Antisthenes returned, and the philosopher thereupon sent for a man with a club to drive the stupid scholar away. But he was overcome by his scholar, for Antisthenes said, there is no club that was ever made that is heavy enough to drive me away from you. Here I mean to stay and learn whatever you can teach me. Oh, may we have a faith like that, a faith that will say to Christ, I will not go away from thee. There is no threatening in thy book that can drive me from thee. I can but perish if I stay with thee. If I go from thee, I must perish. Therefore, I will abide with thee evermore and learn all that thou wilt teach me. Faith is like the Greek in the days of Xerxes, who seized the boat with his right hand. When they chopped off the right hand, he seized it with his left hand. When they cut off the left hand also, he laid hold of the boat with his teeth and did not let go till they had severed his head from his body. Soul, if thou canst lay hold on Christ with thy right hand, or with thy left hand, it will be well with thee. Cling to Christ and say to him, with that holy boldness that is the result of faith, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Faith, then, holds on to Christ. Further, I would say that faith does this best without help. How often we try to assist faith. We want faith to have some works, some prayers, something or other of our own to help it. It is as if somebody were to try and help me to walk by giving me a big chair to carry. I should not walk so well with this burden as without it. Have you never heard this parable concerning faith? She had to cross a stream, and the current was strong. And there came one to her who said, O faith, I will help thee. Come with me up the river till we find a place where we can ford it. Faith said, No, I was bidden to cross the river here. So another came and said, I will build a bridge for you. You may go over the river with ease. And he laid a few stones, but not much ever came of it. Yet another said, I will go and find a boat. But there were no boats about. Therefore they asked Faith to wait till they built a boat for her. What did she do? She took off her vestments and plunged into the water. Thank God, said she, I can swim. And so she swam across and reached the other side without boat, without bridge, and without ford. That is what I should like to see every sinner here do. Begin to swim. Do not wait for help. Cast yourself into the stream of everlasting love. Believe in Christ Jesus and have no more confidence in the flesh with its bridges and its boats. Commit thyself to the stream of eternal grace and swim across. Faith can enable you to do it. Nothing else can. Take that lesson home to yourselves, you who are seeking the Savior at this time. The only thing that will help you to follow after Christ till you find him is faith. All your groaning and moaning will not help you. All your doubting and your trembling will be of no avail. Your feeling that you are too vile to be saved and that faith would be presumption in such a sinner as you will not aid you. But believe that Christ can save you and trust to his power and love, and he will save you. Come to him as this woman of Canaan came with her importunate cry, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And he will have mercy on you, even as he had upon her. Believe, believe, believe. Thou wilt never come into light by doubting and fearing. The way to liberty lies through this one door of faith. Therefore, believe and live. Thus much upon our first remark, that faith alone can keep a soul seeking after Christ under discouragement. Secondly, faith is exceedingly delightful to Christ. What he said to this woman began with an exclamation, as if he was struck with something in her that delighted him. He said, O woman, great is thy faith. Notice that he spoke of her faith and of that alone. He knew about her love. He knew about her earnestness. He knew about her humility. But he said nothing at all about them. His one word of commendation was for her faith. O woman, great is thy faith. That is what my Lord is looking for now. He comes around and looks at you who are sitting in these pews to see whether you have faith in him. There are several thoughts suggested by this that he should encourage you who are seeking Christ. He can spy out the beginnings of faith. If thou hast faith as a grain of mustard seed, he will see it, and he will accept it. If thou hast only now begun to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and to trust him, though thy faith be feeble, as a babe that cannot stand but can only cling to its mother's breast, Jesus will see the beginnings of it. He is the author as well as the finisher of our faith. Be thou comforted, then, concerning that tiny trust thou hast in him. Still, he is greatly pleased when he sees great faith. When a great sinner says, I believe that he is a Savior great enough to save me, it brings joy to the heart of Christ. When an old sinner says, I believe that his precious blood can take away the sin of 70 or 80 years, the Lord's heart is gladdened. Christ loves a great faith. He deserves great faith, and when he gets it, he is highly pleased. O woman, said he, great is thy faith. He is so delighted with faith that he passes by other things for it. If that woman's ears had been hung with rings, and her neck had been decked with pearls, and her hands had been covered with diamonds, he would not have cared about her ornaments and her beauty. He sees something that he prizes more than any of these things. Therefore he says to her, O woman, great is thy faith. He is charmed with that choice decoration of her heart, by that treasure. The king is held in his galleries. Christ may say of faith, thou hast ravished my heart with one of thy eyes. When we can but look straight to Christ and trust in him, he is charmed and carried away by our faith. Why does Christ think so much of faith? One reason is because faith glorifies him. He thinks much of it because it thinks so much of him. Faith believes him, faith trusts him, faith lives upon him. He is the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely to faith. Therefore, because faith highly esteems Christ, Christ highly esteems faith. Next, he loves faith because it is God's appointed way in which we are to receive blessing. God might have appointed ordinances as the vehicle of grace, but instead thereof, he has made faith to be the medium of salvation. Thou believest, thou shalt be saved. He that by faith lays hold on Christ has laid hold on eternal life. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. To the awakened sinner, our word is still, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Since God has put faith into so eminent a place, our Lord Jesus Christ loves to see it. He takes delight in that which pleases his Father. Another reason why he loves it is because faith is the signal which permits the train of mercy to come to us. Whenever unbelief holds up its arms, the train of almighty grace stands still. Of a certain place it is said, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Their doubt blocked the way. But when faith lowers the signal, the great driver of heaven's express says, that road is clear, and he lights to see it and drives right ahead. Oh, if thou canst but let that signal go down, showing that the line is clear of all obstructions, Christ will surely come to thee. He is glad to come whenever he can bring a blessing, wherever he can bring a blessing, and he rejoices when faith reveals to him a clear road. Besides, faith has open arms for embracing Christ. When he comes to our door and finds it locked, he stands there till his bitter lament is, my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. But when he comes and the door is open, the poor sinner is so taken up with his beauty that he never thinks of shutting him out. Oh, says the seeking soul, if the Lord would but come in. And as surely as Christ finds the door thus open, he comes in and dwells there, and makes that heart and that house happy with his divine presence. Christ loves faith because faith gives him a hearty welcome. Faith receives him. Faith embraces him. Oh, I would to God you would think of this and exercise faith in the Lord Jesus. May you see that nothing delights Christ like a sinner believing in him, that nothing gives him more joy than to have a saint resting completely upon him without doubt or fear. Thus have we considered 2 points. First, that the only way to keep a soul seeking Christ under discouragement is by faith. And secondly, that nothing pleases Christ like believing on his name. The third point is that faith will, before long, get a kind answer from the Lord Jesus. This poor woman at the first received no reply to her petition. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. Then when Christ did speak to her, he gave her what seemed to be a rough answer. But after a while, these notes of heavenly music sounded in her ear. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now someone here probably says, I've been praying ever so long, and I've received no cheering reply. Well, if thou believest in Jesus, thou shalt have a good reply before long. If thou canst but hold on to Christ, determined to plead with him till he answers thee, he will answer thee kindly before long. But keep on believing that he can and will give thee what thou needest, and thou shalt not be disappointed. Oh, says one, you do not know who I am. I am an outcast. So was this woman. She was a Canaanitish woman. Yet she obtained a blessing from Christ, and thou shalt get one too, if thou dost follow her in her faith. Oh, but I do not think that I am fit. Did Christ ever say to you that you were a dog? He did as good as tell this woman that. Yet she held on to him by faith and prevailed. Oh, but I have prayed in vain for such a long time. So did she. She prayed, and for a while she received no answer. Oh, but I feel worse after I have prayed. So did she. For instead of getting a comfortable answer, she heard Christ say, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. You cannot be in a worse plight than she was. But the devil troubles me, you add. The devil also troubled her. She pleaded about her daughter who was possessed with the devil. And she kept on pleading and believing. She meant to have Christ. I exhort you to come to the same holy determination. Oh, that almighty grace might help you so to do. For in so doing, you will surely get an answer of peace. You will get a comfortable answer before very long, probably much earlier than you have reckoned upon. Remember that Christ delays in order to increase your faith. Your faith will grow by exercise. Therefore, he tests it that you may use it, and that thus it may become stronger. Christ delays in order to increase the blessing itself. While we wait, the blessing becomes bigger, and our hands become stronger to hold it when it does come. You may be sure that our blessed Lord will give you a comfortable answer, for you do not know that he has been sustaining you while you have been pleading, and as yet have received no answer. Did you ever notice when Joseph's brethren went down into Egypt that he made himself strange to them, and spoke to them roughly, and put them in prison? But in spite of that, there was one thing he did. When they went back to Jacob, he filled their sacks for them, He would not smile upon them, but he would not starve them. And at last, it is said, Joseph could not refrain himself, and he made himself known unto his brethren. He was obliged to show his love at last, but even before he did that, he always filled their sacks for them. Christ will deal with you in like manner. While you are waiting, he will not let you die. Oh, in what wonderful ways did the Lord support me when, through weary years, I was seeking his face. I could not say that I had any comfort that I dared to call my own, and yet there flowed into my soul, somehow, a secret power that enabled me still to hope and still to hold on, for that I now desire to bless his name. And I tell it for the encouragement of any who may be in soul trouble as I was. Keep on seeking his grace, dear friend. Believe still, for he must give you a comfortable answer one of these days. Consider well that it is contrary to his nature to refuse to bless. He is brimful of love. If he does put a sinner back for a while, it is only because it is right and kind and wise to do so. But his heart yearns over every seeking sinner. He wants you more than you want him. He longs after you. He desires to bless you. He must do so. It is his nature so to do. He must give you a comfortable reply before long, again, for it is contrary to his glory to refuse. If he allowed a seeking sinner to die, where would his truth be? Has he not said, Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out? Our friend Dr. Bernardo announces that in his refuges no homeless boy will ever be rejected, that no destitute child shall ever be turned away. Suppose somebody could prove, which of course they cannot do, that scores of destitute children were turned away, all confidence in him would be destroyed. And if it could be proved that Christ ever cast out a single soul that came to him, it would take away his honor and his glory. We can never believe him anymore. Perish the thought of such a thing. It is contrary to his word to refuse any seeker, and Christ will keep his word. Come unto me, saith he, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If Christ does not give you rest when you come to him, what is his promise worth? My friend Dr. Pearson sent me the other day an imitation of an American banknote, which they call a greenback over there, and on one side of it were these words, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. A splendid note that. It had our friend's name on the back, Arthur T. Pearson. And he said to me when he sent it, If the Lord does not pay you, I will, for I have endorsed the note. I shall never have to look up my brother Pearson and tell him that the note he endorses is of no value. There it stands and stands forever. God will keep his word. I know it, and I want you poor sinners to know it too. He cannot run back from his own promise. His word is his bond. To every honest man it is so, but to the thrice holy God his oath and his promise bind him eternally. Let me add that if Christ does not give you a comfortable answer to you who believingly seek him, it is contrary to his custom. Here are many of us who have known our Lord now for 40 years. We can say that his custom is to hear our prayers, and according to our faith, so is it unto us. Come along, thou blackest sinner out of hell. Come and wash in the fountain filled with blood, and thou shalt be cleansed, as surely as ever Christ died. Come along, thou lowest, meanest, most self-abhorred, most self-condemned of humankind. Come now and look to him, and trust in him. And if thou dost not find peace at once, yet be sure that thou shalt have it before long. The morning cometh. It is not for long that Christ's mercy can be restrained. He must break forth like Joseph, weeping over his brethren. He must manifest himself to you in love and tenderness and kindness. I will be bound for him any day that it shall be so. Lastly, we come to a very glorious thought. Faith getting Christ's word hath all things. Listen to the text again. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Christ's word was a comforting word. How the look on this woman's face must have altered when Christ talked to her so. When he answered her never a word, she doubtless had a long and sorrowful face. Probably the big tears stood in her eyes, but now that he began to talk to her in another strain, how happy she felt. The woman was no more sad. So it is even today. One word from Christ can comfort you, even if they talk about putting you into an asylum because you are so melancholy. One word from my master shall be as the balm of Gilead to your wounds. He will bind up your broken heart. He will comfort you and speak peace to you as he did to her. It was a comforting word. It was also a commending word. O woman, great is thy faith. She had never been praised like that before. I have no doubt that her husband had praised her. What good husband is there who does not praise his wife, even as it is written of the virtuous woman, her husband also, and he praiseth her. But his praise had never been so sweet as this word from the Lord Jesus. I have no doubt that her daughter had called her all the sweet names she could think of, for she loved her child, and it is only natural to believe that her child loved her. But now when Christ looks her in the face and says, O woman, great, she may have thought, is he going to say, great is thy sin, or else great is thy noise? What astonishment must have been hers when he said, great is thy faith. He gave her a gold medal for her faith, something even better than that. She was put in the class called highly commended. O woman, great is thy faith. It was a commending word, and she needed it. Next, it was a commanding word. Notice that well. Listen to it. Be it unto thee. He speaks like a king. If the Lord now speaks his gracious word with power, as I pray that he may, he will say, minister, comfort that woman who puts her trust in me. He will say, ordinances, comfort those weary ones. Bread and wine, be sweet to the taste of those poor troubled ones. He will say, prayer meetings, be a joy to those poor tried ones. It is a commanding voice with which the Lord of hosts speaks when he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. In addition to being a commanding word, it was a creating word. Why, it was the very word that God himself used when he made the light. He said, be light. He said to the earth, be, and it was. He said to the heavens, be, and they were. The word is a declaration, a command. So here that same mighty voice says, be it unto thee, be it unto thee. O God, send forth a declaration at this moment to some poor, weary heart. Create light, create joy, create peace. He can create all of these in your heart now. Oh, that he might do it by the power of his almighty grace. The faith of this poor Canaanite thus obtained for its reward a creative declaration from the lips of Christ. Further, it was a complying word. You see, all these adjectives begin with the same letter. It was a comforting word, a commending word, a commanding word, a creating word, and a complying word. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, just as you please, whatever you wish for, and in the way you wish to have it. Christ capitulates to a conquering faith. Nothing ever conquered him yet but faith. His love is stronger than death. Death could not conquer Christ, nor could all the powers of hell. But here he surrenders at discretion to a soul that can vanquish him by believing. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Do you want more joy? Do you want full salvation? Do you want perfect rest? Behold, he says to each of you who can and do believe in him, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Thus, lastly, this word became a completing word. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. From that very hour, she was well again. Christ finished that work speedily. He was not long about it. He does not take so long to save a soul as it does for a lightning flash to be visible. You pass from death to life in an instant. When lost, ruined, condemned, man casts himself at Christ's feet. Immediately he is saved. It is not the work of hours or weeks or years when you trust to the finished work of Christ. All that required time, Christ has accomplished. All that now has to be done can be done in a moment. When a man is thirsty, it does not take him long to drink when the water is there. Remember the invitation with which the scriptures almost conclude. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life is there, take it. When a man is hungry, it does not take him long to eat when the bread is on the table. God can now give you, who came to this tabernacle afar off from him, grace which shall enable you to be made nigh at once. He can bring you immediately out of the blackness of sin and make you on the instant whiter than snow. Make David's prayer your own. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Believe my Lord and Master. Oh, why do you not believe him? Artful doubts and reasoning cease. I would now take the hammer and the nails and fasten my unbelief and fear to Christ's cross. Hang there, ye thieves, and die. You destroy men's souls, ye doubts and reasonings. Come here, simple faith, thou who hast no wisdom. A mere child thou art, but, O simple faith, thou hast the key of the kingdom. Come and welcome into my heart. Will all of you not also believe and trust in Christ even now? If you do, you shall be saved. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. God bless you. Amen. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which is food for our souls. We thank you for granting us faith to believe in you. We pray that you will continue to increase our faith as we humble ourselves before you. Grant faith to those that have not come to trust in you. Help those that are seeking. Bless us all as we seek to go forth and serve you in this coming week and coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us worship God by now singing hymn 533. Number 533.